Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
I am very excited to be here today with a very special guest, Caitlin Flanagan. We're going to talk a little bit about our relationship in a moment, but Caitlin is the director of talent strategy at MassMutual Carolinas, and she is going to be sharing with us today how an intentional focus on culture has improved the talent that has joined the organization over the last 12 to 18 months. We're going to spend some time talking about where we were before we started down this journey, this path together, and how making a very intentional focus on culture has definitely helped us grow as an organization, increase the talent of the individuals coming into the organization, and had a really strong and positive impact on the development of our culture, in spite of being in the midst of 2020 and the COVID shutdowns and all the ensuing challenges that that's brought. So, Caitlin, welcome and good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. And as I said, you're a special guest. Caitlin Flanagan also is my daughter. And Caitlin and I have had the privilege of working together now since she was an intern here. I'm going to give her a chance to tell her story in a minute, but it's fun to be able to do something like this together, and it's great to have you on the podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, before we get started?
Well, I'm excited to be here. So grew up in Charlotte for most of my life and actually decided to go to Queen's University of Charlotte for golf. And after a year, switched gears and joined a sorority, Chi Omega, where I served as the social chair for 3 years and actually started my career as an intern with MassMutual Carolinas. Had an interest in marketing and have since been able to really grow my career and passion for building relationships and expanding the legacy of our organization in the Carolinas and in the community.
That's fantastic. And I know your transition from golf, which was a lot of work and a passion, to being the chair of the sorority, definitely something that was a great use of your skill sets and helped you develop some of your leadership abilities. You know, that one thing that I think is also worth noting is that you are the fourth generation of the Flanagan family to be in the financial services industry. So that's a pretty remarkable feat. And again, it's obviously a real joy and pleasure of mine to be able to work together. So let's jump into this topic of how we have intentionally focused on the culture. And I'm going to kind of start with a model we worked off of, and just kind of maybe give some context and let you fill in some of the details. So, you know, a couple of years back, maybe 3 years now, we really started talking about how do we intentionally focus on culture. So much of what we do in the financial services industry has been commoditized or replicated. It was getting difficult to basically discern a difference for someone that was interviewing with our firm, what was different from one firm to the next. And so our intentionality was to focus on culture. We built out a framework and a model that we called lead, target, recruit, train, and retain to support that effort of our cultures. And you have been specifically focused on the talent attraction and onboarding side. So why don't you talk a little bit about, from your perspective, Caitlin, how the changes that we made, kind of maybe start with where we were and what some of the challenges were, and then move into some of the things that we did to shape the culture in a more positive direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So I transitioned into a recruiting role in December 2018 and, you know, kind of got thrown into the position, really
like the deep end of the pool.
And relied heavily on your leadership and the leadership of the organization, and transferred my skills from marketing of being able to cultivate relationships and quickly build trust with people. And, you know, in doing so, started the conversation just with our existing advisors to kind of learn about how they got into the career, what their fears were starting out, and really hope to kind of brainstorm some new ideas about how to attract people into our organization and into the profession. In those conversations, I quickly learned that at the time, several of our advisors weren't comfortable referring people into our organization, which was definitely an interesting and eye-opening experience. I know, Tim, you and I had a lot of conversations about that after the fact as to how these advisors could appreciate your leadership in the organization so much, but not necessarily be willing to introduce other like-minded individuals. And that was really the biggest challenge that we had. And so the goal from there in my mind was really how to transition the culture and how to transition the mindset to having a referable culture and expanding on the framework that we have and all of the work that we've done in the community to continue to build out the legacy and continue to have our advisors make a positive impact. And so really from there, as you said, wanted to reframe our experience for candidates and did so and kind of took a step back and thinking through what do we want that to look like? And if we're somebody who's considering MassMutual Carolina, is considering the profession, considering making a career transition, what is going to be, what's going to resonate in that those conversations? And so from there, really decided that, as you mentioned, it's focusing on culture and focusing on the resources and core values that we have as an organization and ensuring that there's alignment both from the candidate and from us.
Yeah, and I know when you started your new role and you had those conversations, it was a little disappointing to hear because, as you said, we had great relationships with our advisors, yet they had a reluctance to introduce people, which was really the focus of how you wanted to build our talent pipeline was, you know, through the introductions of our advisors. So let's kind of hit on some of the things that came up there and the changes that we've made and kind of pivot it back to the experience that, someone has as they explore a career in this profession with our firm. But one of the concerns that the advisors expressed was just who and how are these new people I'm going to introduce be led? And we've worked on addressing some of the concerns that were expressed to us there. Another area of concern was ultimately how are these new people going to be trained? You know, the business has gotten much more complex. There's a significant amount of different products and planning strategies and licenses to obtain. And instead of just throwing people out there into the public, you know, how are the professional skill sets of these individuals that I might introduce to you going to be developed? And we have completely overhauled our program, our advisor development program. Jared Engel runs that now, and we've definitely gotten high marks from the people that have participated in that over the last year plus. And then really that recruiting experience, you know, exploring this career, the profession, what is rewarding about it, what's challenging about it, and then also the firm and really looking for fit. So why don't you talk a little bit about specific to that talent development process early on in exploring the career? Why don't you talk a little bit about what changes we made, what changes you felt were necessary to be made in that overall experience for somebody exploring a career with in our profession and in our organization?
Yeah. So thinking through some of the changes to have a more exploratory experience for candidates, the biggest thing that we run into in those conversations is people wanting to have a clear roadmap. And when you're starting something new, there's a lot of uncertainty and it takes a lot of courage to be able to make a transition. And it's something that impacts you right now and it impacts 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And I think it's acknowledging that and giving them permission to explore something new and validating the fact that it is scary and it's overwhelming. And really our responsibility as an organization is to provide you the guidance and coaching through this exploratory selection process to figure out if this is the right path for you and if we're the right organization to support your vision and your goals.
So how did you break that experience down in a way that accomplishes that objective for somebody that's considering this profession in our organization? And how did you, you know, the typical process, unfortunately, in the financial services industry too often is, you know, they're trying to hire a certain number of people every year. And basically anybody that comes through the door that expresses interest, they pivot to trying to convince them to get into the profession and join the firm. And we actually took an intentional step away from that because we didn't want to be selling somebody into something that they didn't understand and wasn't a good fit. So what are some of the, what changes did you make to that experience that's kind of made it unique even in the profession and certainly our marketplace?
I would say the biggest change starts with mindset. And it's a mindset of inviting people to be a part of this. And with that shift, it made a culture that was less focused on hitting a number and really aligning the characteristics of success for a fit in the profession. And so the changes that we made really focused on the meeting structure in the selection and recruiting process. And we really focus on having the candidate meet with a variety of our resources so that they can hear different lenses, hear different perspectives, but at the end of the day, have the same experience. And that experience is really focused on understanding what is driving them and what their purpose is to want to explore a career as a financial professional. It's really focused on identifying who they want to be working with and how they want to be making an impact in their clients' lives. It's focused on understanding what support they need and how we're going to build a business development plan around them. And really focused on their personalized development support, as well as how that integrates into the overall firm advisor development program.
So culture, yeah, obviously is the kind of topic of our conversation here in this context. And values are an important part of our organization's mission, how we live those values out, our core values out. How did you integrate, or how have you integrated, I'll say, the alignment of values between the organization and the candidates as a way to help make matches that might be, you know, good fit on both sides?
So throughout our recruiting process, we actually have candidates complete a series of really brief exercises. And those exercises essentially help us coach them through a business plan and give us the information that we need to give them that framework. And one of the first exercises that we actually have candidates do is called Envisioning the Future. And it's a brainstorm of everything that they want to have, do, and be in their life. And I really encourage them to focus on the personal side, professional, materialistic, short-term, long-term. And that helps us get an understanding of what success looks like for them. It understands what their personal values are so that we can have that value alignment and know if there is that mutually beneficial satisfaction, as well as starting to think through if we move forward with this candidate, who are different mentors and advisors and leadership in this team that share some of those interests and share some of those values that we're going to be able to quickly get them connected with to make a more impactful fast start for them.
And yeah, I think that's again, one of the things that's uniquely different about the process at this point, because we're really trying to be selective in who we invite in. Back to your point, because it is an invitation process. And at the same time, we're trying to help the candidate make sure they're selecting the right firm. Mm-hmm. What, you know, if you could just talk for a minute a little bit about the process of selection on our end. You know, what are the key things that we do as an organization to make sure, again, we're not just saying, oh yeah, they want to join us, let's bring them in, but you know, that it truly is a fit.
So our candidate selection process, again, really boils down to value alignment And the biggest piece in selection is business development and having a clear path of who these candidates are going to enjoy working with, how they're going to enjoy working with those people, and making sure that we have the resources to be able to support those different target markets and their specific approaches on how they initially want to get in front of them. Obviously, that changes as our advisors' careers evolve, but it really is making sure starting out that there is that alignment and we're the best organization to support those different target markets.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge anyone has getting started in this profession and sustaining success is having enough of the right people to call on as potential clients. So why don't, if you would, elaborate a little bit more on that step of our process and how we, again, kind of mutually explore, is this candidate, A, going to have the right people to call on, and B, you know, do we see them having the enthusiasm to call on them? Because, you know, the whole crux of success in the first year is inviting, as a new financial services professional, inviting enough people to join with you to become clients. That's obviously a key element of launching a successful career. Talk a little bit about that for a minute.
Yeah, so in our selection process, we have, again, candidates go through several exercises that on our side of the table, we're able to pull out the key elements that roll up into a business plan. And so for business development, there's a three-part document that we call Finding Your Focus. And, you know, starting out in the initial interviews, it really is just kind of pulling from the candidate's brainstorm. And we give minimal direction very intentionally, because what I want to see is how a candidate wants to approach this business and how they see themselves identifying target markets. I always try to tell candidates, you know, if you knew everything that you were doing coming into this profession, you probably would have started a long time ago and we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so I don't expect them to have all the answers, but it really is starting to understand how they think. And then for us, you know, and having our marketing team actually a part of those meetings is to put together a very prescriptive approach on how as an organization we can plug them into our existing marketing efforts to grow those markets vertically, starting out and ongoing throughout their career cycle.
And that's certainly, I think, again, back to my comments where so many people start to have a conversation with a firm in our business, and if there's an interest, they just try and fast track that candidate to getting started without any idea or notion of how they're going to develop their practice. So made a lot of changes. Obviously, we talked about how we're impacting the culture. So maybe, you know, September, the end of September 2020. Why don't you, if you could, elaborate a little bit more on what we have been able to accomplish in essence in changing our culture through this process over the last 12 months, and even, you know, even more so over the last 6 months when we went into lockdown mode.
Absolutely. So the past 9 months of the year really have been focused again on inviting quality people into the organization. And, you know, March 16th, when everything really shut down in Charlotte, North Carolina, we actually had a class of advisors that were intended to be in the office on March 17th for our initial development program. And, our leadership team quickly had to pivot and move to a virtual Fast Start Academy to ensure that these advisors were still going to be set up for success as they launched into the profession. And so over the past several months, we haven't slowed down on the recruiting front. And a large portion of that is due to advisor referrals as well. and creating, again, a referable culture and an experience that our advisors are familiar with and feel comfortable introducing their friends and family and community partners to experience alongside of us.
Yeah, I mean, that I think the big shift has been, if you think about where we started this conversation, where we know we started, is there were, you know, that place where advisors were not really, you know, they were reluctant to introduce people to us. And this shift over the last really less than 24 months has taken us from that place to a place where advisors are, in many cases, enthusiastically introducing us to people. And as those people come on board, they're offering to mentor and be a part of that person's success. And I think it's a, you know, it's a testament, you know, to the entire organization's efforts to make a change there, and certainly a testament to you and your leadership on a day-to-day basis to help us make that shift, starting with the initial experience someone has. I'll read you something. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I got a note last night from somebody that is in the process of joining us that was introduced to us through another advisor. And that advisor happens to not be with our firm. They are with another organization, and they called me in the spring before COVID and introduced me to an individual who's making a transition out of current career, and which was, you know, an honor in and of itself. But I'll read the note I got from him. He was asking for some assistance, which we're taking care of, but he said, on a personal note, I'm having a great time being a part of MassMutual of the Carolinas. I'm learning a lot. I love how teamwork is emphasized. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. I really appreciate the opportunities here. I'm looking forward to making an impact. And I think, you know, that's a living proof, and it's not the only email I've gotten, but I got it last night as I knew we were prepping for this conversation. I thought it would be appropriate to share, only in the sense that, you know, at a broader sense, the purpose of this podcast is to inspire other business owners to have a focus on culture. I know we're telling our story today, but it's relevant in the sense that our story, it can be another entrepreneur story. And that by having a focus on not only culture, you know, at a high level, but then aligning the leadership of your firm, the recruiting and onboarding of, in our case, new advisors, the training and development program, and then the ongoing engagement program, you can make some major shifts. What, you know, as we sit here and kind of think about the balance of the year and going into 2021, you know, what are some, I don't know if they're tips, but just observations you would share from your vantage point, Caitlin, as to how an entrepreneur or a company could utilize some of what we've done to make an improvement in their own culture?
I would say, you know, for entrepreneurs that are wanting to make an emphasis on inviting more quality people into their organization, start with talking to your existing team and talking to the people who did start with your organization years ago. And, you know, understand what their thought process was, how they made those decisions. And you likely knew that at one point when you worked with them, but revisit that and really understand how you can take some of those learnings and apply it to your model moving forward. I would also say, you know, depending on the type of business that you have, when you're working with people, really take note and acknowledge that if they're making a career transition, it's a big decision, and it's something that impacts them, it impacts their family, and it impacts their future and their legacy. And that's not something to be taken lightly. And I think if you can really focus and acknowledge that, it helps the candidate feel important. It helps them feel valued and heard, and it really makes an impact whether it's somebody that you move forward with or not.
Yeah, I think so many people today in our society want to be heard. You know, there's a lot of noise in the social media and everywhere else, but that doesn't mean people are being heard. So Well, I want to say thank you, Caitlin, for our time together. And, you know, and even more importantly than our time, you know, the work that you are doing and the leadership that you brought to the organization is not only impacting the advisors, you know, the 130 plus advisors that have been a part of our organization, but those that are joining our organization. You've guided almost 20 people now through this process since COVID started, and help them get launched at a pretty interesting time in our society, and yet at a, quite frankly, a very good time to become a financial advisor. And, you know, the legacy of the work you're doing and your team is doing is going to have a very lasting impact on this organization for many years to come. So just appreciate you, appreciate everything you've done. Yes, I'm a proud father. We have a great working relationship where we don't necessarily lean on the father-daughter relationship, but it is still part of who we are. And it's a real treat to be able to work with you. And thank you for not only making a difference in our culture, but sharing some of the things that we've been able to do. Those entrepreneurs that are listening to this podcast today, we're going to bring things to a conclusion for today. Appreciate everybody joining us on our podcast. It's great to have you as part of the Winning Through Culture family. And we look forward to sharing some more tips and insights with you to creating a outstanding winning culture. I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast. And remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.